This is very humbling. I'm sure you can relate. And I've been so many places in my life, but here in this ministry is one of the most comforting places of all to me. And this is one of my hiding places with the Lord. To share some of my most intimate times with you brings pain and joy. But I know that God uses all things for his greater good, so that is my comfort. When I look in the mirror every morning, staring at the person who looks very much like a stranger, life seems so senseless and without purpose. And I see the wrinkles and gray hairs and wonder just what my life is about anyway. I'm a great thinker, and most of the time I feel like I live out my life in my head. So many thoughts come in and I start spinning. Sometimes I feel like the widow at Zarephath, who is gathering sticks for her last meal with her son. Though not even close to being as righteous as Job, I feel his great losses and the pain of suffering. And I relate to Martha, busy trying to get things just right. But the person I relate to the most is a woman who wiped Jesus' feet with her tears. My first encounter with God was at a time when deep despair overwhelmed me. I was grieving for my unborn child, whose life I took away, regretting forever the decision I was led to make. I was 20 weeks along when I had the abortion. My baby was just beginning to move, and there was no denying that life was growing. I was led away to the slaughterhouse, where myself and 10 other women were stripped of our babies, forever scarred by the horrific act. I left there feeling just as dead as my baby. The following year was a time of great depression and hopelessness to me. My grief was inconsolable. There was no one I could talk to. You see, I didn't tell anybody what I did. I told all my friends that I had miscarried. And the truth of the matter is, this was my second abortion. The shame I carried was so great. I remember one night the thought of not wanting to live anymore, and it overwhelmed me. Then, with a sense of urgency, I felt a tugging at my heart to flee that place. I called my friends and offered all my belongings and packed some clothes and a few personal things and went to the Greyhound bus station, headed to Sacramento. My old school friend from high school was waiting for me when I arrived, and she took me to her home, where I poured out my heart to her. She had become a Christian several years before, and so, as God so obviously had planned, she witnessed to me and a week later led me to the prayer that brought me to the Lord. I bought my first Bible, and for weeks I read and read, absorbing all that God had to say. It seemed like I just couldn't get enough. Little did I know at the time that he was preparing me for the ministry, waiting. This is from Jeremiah 15:16. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. This was a great time of healing and peace. Never had I experienced God's forgiveness and cleansing in that way, and he wanted that message to be carried. So God led me to women who had experienced abortion as I had. And so my ministry began, where healing and forgiveness was offered to those who were broken. God took me back to L.A., to Greg Laurie's church in Riverside, and where I began my ministry in their crisis pregnancy center. Never in all my life had I felt so purposeful, so close to my Maker. And I still find it amazing that even as a baby Christian, God used me to save babies and bring women to the Lord. At that time, abortion was sensitive and a controversial subject, especially in the churches. But God gave us the boldness to confront them and encourage them to talk about it and reach out to the women who needed to be comforted by this horrific thing. Most of us were able to forgive the people who took us to that bad place. But God gave us the assurance that our babies were safe with Him, and we would see them one day with Him. God gave me boys here on earth, but I have little girls waiting for me in heaven. That season in my life was for a time of great joy to me, but as life happens, it was only for a season, and my life took another direction. Many years later, after straying off God's path and wandering in the desert of life, I find myself back into a place where God's grace is carrying me through another season of my life. This season is a great time of testing of my faith and a time of reflection on where I have been and what God has for the future. The last couple of years have been a time of much sorrow and grief. The loss of my mother in 2005 pushed me into despair once again. How I could have plunged into the darkness again made me very much aware of how easily we can become hopeless in this world, consumed by our own sin and our human nature. Taking care of my mother for a year, I never realized how hard it would be to watch someone you love dying. And once again, I thought I was in control, and hanging on to that made me crazy. I fell into another deep depression with the nightmares, self-condemnation, thoughts of failure, suicidal thoughts, hopelessness. Turning to God was frightening to me. Surely God had turned His face from me. I truly was convinced that I had caused my mother's death. The action I chose to take to escape almost cost me my family. But even through it all, God had His hand on my life and the life of my children. They were put in temporary foster care, and miraculously, a friend came to the rescue and got them out. This surely was a miracle, because normally the children would be released to next of kin. I spent a few days in a mental hospital, and it seemed like the doctors wanted to keep me for a while, but just as quickly as they wanted to commit me, they immediately released me. God was the only explanation for that. The thought of losing my children overwhelmed me, and I truly did feel lost. How was I ever going to overcome this mess I made? Surely God's hand was there all the time as He placed all the right people where I needed the most help. I had to go to court to get back custody of my children, which at that point was difficult to face because I was really unsure of myself and imagined the worst. This was a very scary time for me, but I am forever grateful to God's mercy and love, which was manifested through all the people who stood by me and believed in me. God's mercy and grace was in that courtroom too, and the case against me was dismissed, releasing the children back to me. However, the next couple months were difficult as I tried to reconcile with my children and gain their trust. It was difficult to overcome the guilt I had of what I had done. If God's hand had not been with us, we may not have recovered. The loving arms of friends around me without questions or condemnation was surely God's love manifested. Once again, the Lord showed His great mercy and love towards me. Today, God has me in a place where I'm learning to live one day at a time. What does that mean, anyway? Some might say that is wasteful living. After all, we must have everything under control, planning out every moment, no time to stop and think too hard on things. But the more control we try to hang on to, the more we become out of control. And the truth is, God is in control. I wish I could tell you that my life is trouble-free, but the truth is I've had one struggle after another. Where I am today is far from perfect, but this I know. If God so loved me even when I did not know him, how far greater is his love known to me, despite my circumstances in my life? His unconditional love is so hard to comprehend, yet I cling to it daily. Living one day at a time, to me, means giving up all that I think I am, letting go of trying to control my circumstances, being sustained only by God's grace. It is a time of emptying out all I have held on to for security and purpose. But he has shown me in the past that his ways are not my ways. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Isaiah 55:8. I hold on to that promise that he who began a good work in me will carry it out till it's finished. Today, I wait patiently for God, not knowing where he's taking me. I stop asking why and give each day to him, hanging on to his promise, never will I leave you, neither will I forsake you. Each season of my life has brought trials. Each trial had its lesson. Yet God sustains me each time, filling me with the hope that no matter what happens, God is in control. Psalm 71:20-21. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of earth, you will again bring me up, and you will increase my honor and comfort me once again.